Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom. Happy January, squad! I cannot believe that it is actually 2020. A new year, a new decade. Holy smokes! Now is the time for change. Everybody's hyped up on what new nutrition strategy they're going to employ and how they're going to hit the gym hard this month. And I just want to be the voice of reason that speaks into your life and says, you don't need to do anything crazy, girlfriend. In fact, the most successful clients keep doing what's been working. And if there are things that aren't working, if there are changes that you know need to be made, make them, but one step at a time. The shiny, sexy approach is let's do it all at once and follow all the food rules and cut out all the bad, hear my air quotes, things. And it will always end in crash and burn. So I want to help you avoid that pain and avoid that failure. And today, I am sharing an interview episode with you that I hope will help to do that. I recently interviewed a graduated one-on-one nutrition coaching client, Maria. And Maria and I had the pleasure of working together for a year, changing her relationship with food for life. Now, it's been 2 years since Maria has graduated, and I brought her on the podcast because I want you to see that I'm not full of shit, my friend. I truly am not. I believe so powerfully in what I help women to achieve. And it's not dieting, it's not fleeting fat loss. I want to help you understand your body. I want to help you know how to confidently nourish yourself for life. And in today's episode, Maria is telling us what some of the most impactful lessons are that she learned throughout her nutrition coaching journey and how it helped her to shape her relationship with food and set a better, more confident example for her family. So strap in, sit back, and get ready to learn from graduated one-on-one nutrition coaching client, Maria. Before we dive into the nutrition specifics, Maria,
yes,
give us a little background. Who are you? What do you do? What do you love?
Okay, so a little bit about me. I'm Maria. I will be 33 in February. I am previously a full-time middle school and high school teacher, and now I am a full-time realtor, and I have a, as of today, 19-month-old at home, which is crazy. So I'm in that process of working a business full-time, but also having flexibility with my daughter, which is awesome. I definitely love her, but I love nutrition and exercise, and I'm really big on self-care. As someone who never had that growing up, I finally am at a point since working with you, Nicole, where that's really important to me. And I love rescue animals. That's the other big passion that I have, and reading. So a little bit of everything, I guess.
I remember, Maria, when we first started working together, which is quite some time ago now, you were actually getting ready to start your family. So one of your big motivators was, I want to get my relationship with food figured out and confident so that I feel really good about what I'm modeling.
Correct.
But I'm jumping the gun. I'm so excited to dive in. Let's backtrack a little bit. If you can recall, I know it's been a couple years now. Why did you initially want to pursue nutrition coaching? What was your goal?
I think for me, it was funny, you know, you sent these questions ahead of time, and that was the one that I kind of looked at, and I really needed to think about it, because you're right, it's been a little bit of time, and I had to kind of go back into that mindset. And I think for me, the big caveat was, like you said, I knew we were at a process where we were going to be starting a family, and I knew I didn't have the best model with food, and I didn't want to pass that on. So that was part of it. But I think the reason I reached out initially was I had tried some other things like Weight Watchers, as I'm sure many people who come to you have, you know, dabbled in that. And Noom, that's the other popular one. I had tried both, and really I hated tracking things. And I felt like all of those were kind of a band-aid where they taught you how to, you know, give points to things, which is kind of crazy to me, but now in retrospect. But I think so many of those things miss the bigger picture, which is what is your relationship with food, and not let's calculate this or limit that. But like when you truly dive down, like what is the struggle that you have with your relationship with food? Because everything else is secondary, in my opinion, now that I'm on the other side.
So much mental aspect involved in the physical aspect of food. We can't just break it down into numbers and grams and calories. We can, but it's not sustainable. It won't give us long-term success because we're not associating the stories that we're telling ourselves about food to the food that we're eating.
Absolutely.
That's so
I think
powerful.
That was why I initially reached out. I thought, okay, here's someone who isn't going to make me count things. And I just really appreciated your approach. It was really refreshing.
And if I recall, Maria, correct me if I'm wrong, you were living with your husband and he had a different model as to what worked well for his nutrition habits. And so it was sort of like, hey, we're butting heads. We don't share the same relationship with food, which is obviously totally okay. But I don't know how to figure me out in this relationship where we share a kitchen and we're trying to eat meals together. Yep. It was kind of confusing.
It was. And I think, you know, having different things modeled, I feel like this generation, we're a little bit different, obviously, than past generations. So like when I got married, my mom's big thing was, oh my gosh, what are you going to cook for you and your husband every night? And I really had this deeply ingrained in me that like, that was my role, at least one of them. And it really got to a point where I had to put, it sounds selfish, but I promise it's not. But I had to put myself first and say, hey, here's what I'm going to make. If it doesn't suit you, that's totally fine. Please don't feel obligated to eat what I'm eating. But I know this works right for my body and I'm more than welcome to make, you know, extra for you. But if it's not what you want, that's okay too.
I love that. And I think so many people would resonate with what you said at the beginning. It's not selfish because we're taught often that it is for us to care for or do something different, do something for us first, and then invite our support system to join us. Whether or not they're at a place in their journey where they're able to is a different factor altogether. But you were basically saying, I want you to be successful with me, but I have to do this for me. And if you want to come alongside of me, I 100% encourage it and support it and would love it. But I can't let my success be contingent on your success.
Amen. Yes, that's
it. Yes. Okay. So tell us, as a teacher at the time, you understood the importance of education and learning nutrition science versus just kind of diet nonsense. Was there anything holding you back at the beginning when you were thinking about initially investing in yourself?
I think honestly, just that, I mean, I've shared this with you personally, Nicole, but I think so many women struggle with the just realization that you're worth it, that you're worth the time, that you're worth the effort, that you're worth the financial component of it. So I think that was the biggest thing that held me back. Even when we first started, there was a lot of like, you know, is it selfish to take that time to meal prep on Sundays? Is it worth the financial investment? And it, you know, through the process, you start to realize like, of course you're worth it, because if you don't pour into yourself, you're not going to be able to help and take care of the other people in your life, at least not at your highest level. So I think that was the biggest thing I struggled with, was worthiness of the time, the investment, all that. And I think so many women can relate to that.
How did you talk yourself through that? Like the example you just gave was beautiful. I mean, that's what I tell a lot of clients, right? Like you have to fill your own cup before you can pour over into those around you. But at the time, how did you sort of justify, I'm conflicted. I know that I'm worth investing in, but there's so much telling me that that's not the case.
Yeah.
How did you kind of decide to do it anyway?
That's a great question that I hadn't thought of, but I really think like, you know, I go back to Weight Watchers because that's what I knew prior to you. And when you add up the amount of time I spent going to the weekly meetings, or even if you do it online, just that time component, when you add up, like if you weren't within a certain range, when you weighed in, you had to pay a certain amount once you were a lifetime member. So when you start to add up all the little things and I'm like, okay, that all worked for a season, but there was no longevity with it. Why would I, you know, go try some other another quick fix, which is going to be a time investment, a money investment, when I could try this. I had seen other success stories. And then I thought, okay, well, if it does work, then I'm good. You know, I'm good for the rest of my life, at least conceptually. So I thought, you know what, I am going to try it, because I had tried other things and they didn't really stick. I figured this was worth that one shot.
Oh, and I wish so many more individuals could have the perspective that you and I have from the other side. And I know that's impossible until you get there.
Sure.
At the beginning, you're thinking, wow, this is a big time commitment. It's a big financial investment. At the end, you're able to say, oh my gosh, look at how much time and money I've saved by doing this individual style approach, as opposed to trying another program that isn't built for my body or with my life in mind. So I love that. That was... You hit the nail on the head there, Maria. So tell us, we worked together for about a year. And throughout that time period, there was a lot of stuff that we talked about, a lot of things that we covered. Right. What were some of the most impactful lessons that you learned?
I would say there's a couple things. So number one, in the beginning, we did a lesson with the help of the coaching platform that you utilize. I don't know if you still use them, Nicole, but it was about really being mindful when we eat. And there was this exercise where I don't even remember what it was. I think you could choose anything you wanted. I think I chose a grape. And they made you kind of like put it in your mouth and actually like use your tongue to feel the grape, which sounds hysterical. And it was, I was like, what am I doing? But it was like, there's such a disconnect between us eating and us like actually being present in that process. And so that was one big thing that I learned. And I didn't realize how many meals or snacks I ate while distracted. So I would finish, you know, like a thing of popcorn or a slice of pizza. And I really didn't even remember eating it. I kind of liken it to like, if you've driven a certain way for work every day, you just kind of arrive there. You don't really remember the travel. So that was a huge thing for me. And the other thing that I would say that came out of it was the fact that I am worth the time, the energy, all of that, because that was a big piece of the program as well, was just realizing your own worth. And that kind of carried over for me in all aspects of life. And just being able to advocate for myself, like we talked about, that sometimes you do have to maybe cook a separate meal, and it's not being selfish. It's what you need, and you have to advocate for you because no one else will. So those were, I think, some of the biggest things.
And I think the one thing that was really, really impactful, taking it back to the mindful eating component that you mentioned first, we took things very non-numbers based. So we weren't talking about points. We weren't talking about calories. We discussed macronutrients and the importance of proteins and carbs and fats, but we weren't measuring percentages or ratios. And I think that allows so much more for mindfulness, as opposed to these crude calculations that I'm trying to figure out perfectly that might work for a short period of time, but then how do I do it when I eat out, or how do I do it when someone's cooking for me? I think that just speaks to the mindful component so well. And that was something that you mentioned at the beginning, right? Weight Watchers was your background. Yep. But do you want to count points forever? No. Do you want to count calories forever? And so
Nobody does.
The habit-based approach, the, hey, let's just help you figure out what foods leave you feeling great and in what quantity and at what time, that was a big, big player in your journey.
And I think you just hit on the other thing that popped into mind, was just trying to take notice, and it goes in with mindfulness so much, but how you feel after you eat a certain thing. So it's no longer, oh, I can't have that, I don't know, Snickers bar or whatever it might be. It's like, okay, I'll eat it. And then let me pay attention to how my body feels afterwards, because I just didn't realize how many times I would eat things, often emotionally, but then I felt worse after, and not like a guilt aspect, but I just physically did not then feel well. So that was another big thing. And eating to 80% full and not stopping when you're full, but stopping when you're just a little bit before then, to give your brain time to catch up to your stomach. So
I constantly tell clients that that is probably one of the most important habits. When fat loss is the goal, we know that we have to be in a caloric deficit, right? So eating less than we expend. And we could count calories to figure that out. Absolutely. But you and I have already discussed that wasn't for you, and it wasn't for me, and it's not for most of the women that I work with.
Nope.
But by listening to our hunger cues and our fullness cues, we have this built-in system that tells us when we've had enough. Most of us are just really terrible at listening to it.
Amen.
So you got very, very, very good at listening to those hunger and fullness cues, spoke to your weight loss, right? Tell us about some of the results that you saw, not just physical, mental as well, over the course of our year together.
Well, it's funny. I was kind of trying to go back in my memory to where we were when I first started, and I had just gotten into Body Pump a little bit more. And I remember in my notes, like I went back and looked at my lessons, and I was like, one of my goals was to be able to finish the lunge track. And for a long time, I couldn't do it. And then through working with you again, as I started paying attention to more of the types of foods I was eating, how I felt afterwards, you know, I was able to do the entire workout start to finish and add weight and this, that, and the other. So that was a big thing that I would say that I kind of got out of it mentally and physically. But otherwise, I think just so much increased confidence. I did lose weight, but I also, through the process, kind of broke up with the scale. So I will weigh myself every now and then just to see if I'm within a 5-10 pound range out of curiosity. But I think with you, like, taking measurements was really eye-opening, where some days I didn't quote unquote lose, or weeks, I guess I should say, not days, but like some weeks I didn't necessarily go down on the scale, but I lost 2 inches off my waist, or, you know, a half an inch off wherever. And it was just kind of eye-opening that I feel like growing up the scale was like king or queen. And in reality, it really is deceptive. So that was another huge, huge eye-opener for me.
I went back to look at some of your progress as well, and the inches were what popped. And I know that we really focused on that, because, and I wish more women could do this, because the scale, like you mentioned, it's so fickle. And we're conditioned to put a lot of weight, no pun intended, on the scale and on how much we weigh. But in reality, it means so very little, because you lost almost 2 rulers worth of inches. I think you were down like 21 inches from start to finish. And who cares what the scale says if you're happier with your relationship with food, more confident in your choices, and feeling healthier in your body. Like, it doesn't really matter. We're just taught to look at that number. And it oftentimes speaks to the outcome, not to our behaviors. And that's kind of a shift that we had made, is, hey, the outcomes are going to follow suit. We know that, but we need to focus on the behaviors that you're executing daily and weekly. And eventually that will get you to where you want to go. How hard do you think breaking up with the scale was? Because I wish a lot more of my clients would choose to, and not necessarily break up with it for good, because like you said, I think it's always a good reference point. It's a very easy metric to use. I like cringe whenever a client is doing so well and she's in the trap of maybe weighing in daily, because I know eventually there's going to be a water weight fluctuation. Maybe it's period week. Who knows what it is? The scale is going to be up, and then we can't deny that that affects our choices or our mental atmosphere.
Absolutely. I mean, I think initially it was a little bit of a challenge because, like you said, it is something that we know. But at the same time, I had put on a decent amount of weight. So I'm not going to say I was weighing in daily when we started. So in that respect, I guess it was a little easier. But I think as I got going and I started to feel my clothes fitting more loosely, like, it was tempting to weigh in every day just to kind of see. But like you said, there's so much with that that we can't control. And I think that was probably the biggest overarching goal that I learned, is control what you can control. And that's your habits. You can't control, you know, if you go to a party and they have your favorite food and you do, I mean, I guess you can technically control whether you eat it or not, but the environmental stuff outside of your prime environment, you may not be able to control, but you can absolutely control your habits and what's important to you.
And you mentioned this briefly, but you were really into exercising, and Body Pump was something that you enjoyed. So what we did, we didn't just say, hey, no metrics, right? Like, just focus on this and good luck. We use different metrics, like girth measurements and like exercise performance. So I remember when we were kind of wrapping up our year together, we were going on walking check-ins. So like, we were having our coaching conversations. You were pushing your stroller towards the end. And it was just thinking about how nutrition was allowing you to live a better fueled and more powerful life in and out of the gym. So we were using different metrics. And I think having performance goals instead of simply aesthetic goals can be so helpful.
I agree with you on that. And I think that's something, it's a mindset shift. It's not overnight, but like you talk about so much, it's really the culture that we, you know, have grown up in, and it's what we see in the media. So it takes time. It really is a very big mindset shift.
100%. So Maria, can you speak briefly to, you mentioned Weight Watchers, you mentioned Noom, mm-hmm. other nutrition mm-hmm. diet approaches that maybe you had explored prior to coaching. How does one-on-one coaching, individualized coaching, differ from maybe some of those other things that you had tried?
Like I said, I think just the entire approach, I would say like Noom is probably the closest in terms of there is some education, but I actually gain weight using Noom. So I'm just not a fan overall. But I think, like you said, the fact that it is individualized to a point is huge. And the fact that you're a real live person that you can interact with. And I think you're very real and authentic, which is helpful, because then when you do have those moments where, you know, maybe you didn't follow your habit the way you wanted to, you're there to be like, okay, it happens, get back up on the horse and keep going, you know. And it's so, there's that accountability and just the fact that we're not perfect. And mm-hmm. so, and I think a lot of the other programs are built around this idea of perfection. I think like when you assign points to something, just inherently, if something's higher or lower, we're like placing a value on it. And I don't think that helps anyone, male or female, really kind of change their overall relationship with food.
Amen. You're reminding me of a coaching conversation that I had, and this individual happened to come from Weight Watchers as well, but okay. she had a weigh-in where her weight was up, and mm-hmm. I said, well, tell me what happened yesterday, right? She ended mm-hmm. up eating out. So my response was something like, hey, no big deal. Let's stay yep. focused on your action steps. You're executing them really consistently. And we'll see what's happening after a week or two of consistent behavior. And she right. started crying because she said, Nicole, I was so afraid that yeah. I was going to hop on our coaching call and you were going to make me feel bad for mm-hmm. having gained weight, because she had all of this shame from past weigh-ins yeah. that weren't down. So I think yep. that's just, you cannot have this pass-fail mentality when it comes mm-hmm. to health and nutrition, because it just doesn't work in a binary perspective like that.
Right. Right. And I think like I can remember going to weigh-ins and like if you weren't within that range, like you had to pay, like it was a negative thing. And it's like, no, that's just part of it. That's how our bodies work. And so, you know, I know a lot of people who've been successful with Weight Watchers, more power to them. But I think for me, I knew A, that didn't work long term, and B, I just didn't love the mentality around it anymore. And I didn't know there was another option, quite honestly. So
totally. And like you said, different strokes for different folks. Everything works. Yes. It just becomes sure. a question of for how long and is it for yep. me? And I sure. think with weigh-ins or any type of failure, I just want to make sure that you're given the tools and I have the tools to say, hey, why did this happen? And right. did I feel really good about my choices, or does something need to change? Like what's working and what isn't, as sure. opposed to just feeling poorly for something that maybe is completely outside of our control.
Absolutely.
So Maria, you were a one-on-one coaching client before coaching went completely remote. So now yes. everything happens through video calls. I mean, hello.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yes.
I'm learning things today. Okay. All
right. It's 2020 in like a week and a half. I can't believe yeah. that. So it seems to be the way that things are going. It's super right. convenient. Nobody has to yep. leave their house or their office. And right. the process is exactly the same. So
yeah.
your experience slightly different, because we actually met in person. Then we got to sit across from each other and go for these walks. Right. But the experience that you had, would you recommend that to someone who's struggling with their nutrition and their relationship with food?
Absolutely. I mean, hands down, absolutely. It, like I said, it's really the only thing that has worked long term. And I, you know, it's funny, I was looking back at my progress photos and stuff. And I mean, I'll be completely honest, I'm about 4 or 5 pounds heavier than I was when we ended. And I'm thrilled with that, because I kind of found what worked for me. And it's, I think it's been 2 years almost. And so the fact that I'm still relatively where I was and I feel fantastic, I can't recommend it enough, honestly.
That just speaks to the sustainability of the habits that you
learned. It does. I mean, there's always going to be different.
Yes, some fluctuation, because real life. And when mm-hmm. we were working together, we kind of pushed the needle forward and said, hey, let's challenge what your body can actually achieve. Right. And then you found what is sustainable for your real life in mm-hmm. mom life. And
yes, life. And that changed everything. So,
oh my gosh. So Maria, let's end on this. So you have yes. the client perspective. Mm-hmm. There are so many women out there who are listening to this. They've tried everything, you name it, they've mm-hmm. done it. And it's all been very, here's the perfect plan, adhere to it with 100% compliance and you will succeed. But right. they're immensely frustrated, much like you were, because nothing seems to stick. What would you say to that woman who's listening right now and feeling like there's nothing out there that's going to work for me? I just know it.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, I hate to be cliche, but if I can do it, you can do it. But I think, like I said, so many other things they've likely tried are dealing with the symptoms, not the actual issue. And so I think just like anything in life, you know, you can try something and it'll work temporarily, but until you kind of dig into the actual bigger thing, which is your relationship with food, nothing will work. And so I think that's where this is very different, is that it really does explore your relationship with food, which is at the heart of everything. So, I mean, I would say certainly give it a try. You have nothing to lose for sure if you've already tried a lot of other things. But I really think that's the big difference, is that it truly looks one-on-one with your relationship with food. And until that's changed, nothing is going to stick, because you haven't changed the actual heart of the struggle.
Okay, I lied. That wasn't the last question.
I love it.
Only because your answer was so great. And I know exactly what you're referring to. But if someone who's listening is like, what does that mean? Like, my relationship with food, you're referring to not just the food specifics, not just talking about, hey, eat this, not that, proteins, right, carbs, fats, macros, but why do you eat? Why do you feel compelled to eat once everybody else goes to bed? Why do you feel like after a stressful day, you then have a binge episode that you look back on and you're like, how did that even happen? Like, it is the psychology behind your choices. Is that what you're referring to when you say,
yes,
get to the core of your relationship with food?
Yeah. I mean, I think especially for women, nine times out of 10, and men too, but we know what we should eat, quote unquote should. And meaning we know that, you know, at the end of a stressful day, it's probably a better choice to have a salad with a healthy protein and some extra veggies on the side, as opposed to a cheesecake. But the reality is, you end up often going for the cheesecake. So it's like, okay, clearly the macronutrient component of it, that might be part of it. You know, you need to learn some of it, but usually it's like, okay, what is driving those decisions? What is the actual relationship with food? Are you using it as a coping mechanism? You know, that kind of thing. And I think a lot of the other programs completely miss that. And I would argue that I think for most women, that's the bigger struggle. It's not knowing that cauliflower is a better choice than a Snickers bar. Like, we got that. But it's how your body actually processes those things, how you feel afterwards, and kind of what's driving those decisions in the first place.
Yes, the motivation behind your choices. We all have, I shouldn't say we all, most of us have a significant amount of nutrition education. I would argue too much sometimes. Yeah. What we need is someone to help us apply it, to separate out the mental aspects and actually nourish what it is that we're feeling from a mental health perspective, and then figure out, hey, how can I actually do this in my life consistently? Mm-hmm. Because I've collected the data on what leaves me feeling my best in this body, in my real life.
Absolutely. Yep. And I think for most of us, you know, if you're using food as a coping mechanism, you also have to find something else to fill that then. And that's, for me, exercise and some of that self-care that I talked about in the beginning. That's where that has come in. And it all kind of goes back to that worthiness. So
yeah, sometimes we just need nourished with something else. If I'm feeling stressed or lonely or anxious, food is going to make me feel really great for about 5 minutes. And then I'll probably end up feeling worse afterwards, because I didn't actually target the core of the issue. But if I know, hey, here's this thing that I'm experiencing, this emotion, this feeling that I'm having, what non-food related coping mechanism will actually allow me to effectively manage what it is that I'm going through? And then if I still want food, fair enough, but I'm going to come at that from a mindful, intentional place, as opposed to just reacting to what it is that I don't know how to deal with.
Correct. Yep.
Wow. This was a heavy podcast interview. I love it.
That's kind of how I roll, Nicole. You know that.
And I think truly it just speaks to the difference of, hey, you can follow those food rules. They will work for you. Can you keep following them? And what you and I have realized in our lives is, hey, I need actually to do some of that deep inner work to figure out why this is manifesting in my relationship with food. And then I can utilize what I know to be true of nutrient dense foods and how those lead me feeling, and apply it on a consistent basis so I can look, feel, and perform my absolute best.
Yes, I would agree with that 110%.
Maria, thank you so much for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
And I love featuring graduated clients. Everybody's story is different, but I love knowing that it's been 2 years since you graduated, and here you are telling us hey, the habits weren't a fluke. Like, I'm still implementing them. My relationship with food has been truly changed. And now you're passing that on to your daughter.
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Yay.
If you, like Maria, are looking to create change in your relationship with food, your body composition, and your confidence, the time is now, my friend. I am currently accepting one-on-one nutrition coaching clients this January 2020 so that you can learn how to finally and sustainably reach your big, powerful goal. But don't wait, friends, because I honestly have no idea how many spots will be left by the time you tune into this episode. But I want you to think about it. Maria and I worked together for 1 year. If you live to be the average lifespan of about 80 years old, that is such a small percentage of your life, 0.0125. And you can, in that time frame, completely change your health, your happiness, and your quality of life. I'll drop my coaching application in the show notes below. Do not wait. Your time is now. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.